Hey everyone, I'm Jay.
I'm Sophia.
And I'm Scott, and welcome to Witches Betwixt.
So today's episode is about spooky stories, but really
Yay.
it should be called Witches Be Tired because we're all tired.
Very.
We've each had our own brand of bullshit going on in our lives, our own specialized flavor of bullshit. So yeah, but we're not gonna bring anyone down, but just know that we're tired. We're going through life bullshit. But we're still here and we're still podcasting, and that's all that matters, right?
Yeah.
And that's all you guys care about. It's okay, it's fine. I understand. We're gonna give a little bit of recap about Samhain, because Samhain was, as of this recording, Samhain was yesterday, the 31st, or some of you do observe it on the 1st. I think generally for us, I'm kind of both. I feel like if I didn't get to it on the 31st, which I didn't, I'll get to it tonight, which I will. Yeah. So, yeah, so my Samhain was, I worked. I worked during the day, and then I got involved with a bunch of bullshit, and then I worked until 2 o'clock in the morning, and then I got up for work this morning, and now I'm here. So I'm gonna do a little something later. So my Samhain was decidedly not witchy. I was a bad witch, and I did not witch on the witch high holiday. But that's okay. Do not kick yourself in the ass too hard, because life happens, and unfortunately we're not in a position to where we can live full time as witches and have that pay our bills. We have to assimilate through Muggle society and get through. So my Samhain, it was not, it'll be tonight, and then I'll recap in the next episode what I actually did. So Scott, I think you had a similar situation, you were saying. Kind of.
I mean technically mine was pretty witchy. As of last year, I started sitting out in front of my house. I have this like little witchy reader's tent that I set up, and I try to get people to come for readings to try to make my life, at least make a living, being a witch. Because, you know, I'm not really big on retail jobs, and I don't have my degree just yet. So I would like to, you know, yeah. So basically I was reading. So that was pretty cool. I didn't get to do like ritual for Samhain yet. I'm going to. The cool thing is, technically speaking, in my tradition, I honestly observe Samhain as pretty much like the start of the dead half of the year. So realistically, at any point of this time of the year for me is pretty much a time to honor the dead. Samhain is kind of just my gateway. I basically view Samhain as kind of the gates to the underworld, just kind of, just because the older Celtic tribes in my tradition, they didn't observe, they only had two seasons. It was winter and summer.
I mean, isn't that kind of how it feels now, though? I mean, oh, I'm sorry, wait, global warming's not a thing. My bad.
Right.
it's not real. Climate change isn't real.
Depends where you live, because Canada, you still feel the damn winter.
Well, basically here in the States, it's summer and winter. That's it. That's all we have. That's all we have. Today was summer.
At least here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, in PA.
But I might be too tired to do it, but I will recap when I finally do my ritual. I do have something pretty intense planned, called the Red Meal, which if you guys are interested, I will explain at a later date. But that was my Samhain.
I got to go to the local occult shop here in Toronto. If anybody's a local, I'm sure you know the one I'm talking about, because it's literally called the occult shop. And
oh my god, that's perfect.
They had every ingredient I needed for this spell that I decided not to cast on someone, because I don't want to be that mean, and I'm going to give them a chance and like kind of put some healing energy out there instead, because I feel that might be more conductive. But it's nice to have a magical dagger in your belt, so to speak. So I did some spell crafting the first half of the morning, mailed out some witchy goods. What else did I do? I ignored a message from Hecate, and I paid for it dearly, and I'm still feeling like crap today. But I definitely enjoyed myself and my first Samhain out in the eastern side of Canada. I'm kind of a fish out of water. Wasn't really expecting it to be so in my face with all the energy, but it's been pretty good, I think, overall. And
well, Toronto is a pretty like witchy, like liberal, queer city, right?
Yeah, which is weird because I was originally like I lived in Vancouver on the West Coast, so you'd think that would be heavy there, but there's just not the pagan community that I found out there, like I found here just immediately. So it's very present, and I think that kind of caught me off guard because there's more witch shops and apothecaries here than I've ever seen in my entire life, and it's absolutely fantastic. So
that's awesome. We need to get passports, me and you, Scott. We need to get on up to Toronto for sure. It's not that hard to get to. It's really not.
We're really close, actually. Yeah. It's a day's worth of driving. And, like, I got couches.
Exactly. Or just, like, hop a train or something. I'm sure it could be done.
That would be a lot of fun. Yeah. I've always wanted to go to Canada. The only thing is, Darian's not going to let me go to Canada without him because
Darian. Tell him to get his passport too. We'll all just go and get our passport. So donate to our whatever the fuck it is so we can get passports to go to Canada.
And we are brewing new ideas for Patreon subscribers. So
yeah, we are. We've got a whole Witches Betwixt like think tank going on here. So any more Samhain updates? Are we good? I guess overall we kind of had a low key Samhain because I mean sometimes that's the reality of witchcraft. Sometimes it's just the reality, you know, you're going through life and you're going through the motions of what's going on. Like just because, and that's the other thing of maybe a little bit of a struggle of being a practicing witch in modern society is because people observe Halloween. They understand that Halloween, but it's not a religious holiday. People don't really get off work for it. If anything, if you work retail, it's a reason to stay open later and make you work harder and sales and deals.
True that.
So, you know, unfortunately, so it's not like Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter where, you know, it's a recognized holiday. So your friends would be like, oh, why didn't you come to the Halloween party, man? And it's like, well, I was like, you know, giving offerings to my ancestors, you know? Yeah. So people don't always understand. So, especially if you're closeted too about it can be difficult. It can be difficult to straddle those two things, but just don't kick yourself in the ass too hard if you didn't do this big, incredibly witchy, powerful magic thing, because sometimes something just as simple as, you know what, I know it's Samhain and I can't do anything right now, but you'll do it eventually. It's fine. It's okay.
Totally.
No one is coming to come down and smite you for it. So
there's no requirements to working craft. You don't have to hit all the holidays if you're too busy. And to reflect what Jay said, like a lot of witches work in the service industry and the retail industry, and everybody knows how ruthless those are for not necessarily giving you the time that you need to do ritual workings on every Sabbath of the year, right? So it is what it is. And sometimes if you just like literally say thank you to your spirits or your ancestors and just take like 10 seconds to give them that focus, or like light a candle or something, whatever you have to give is totally valid.
Yeah, I mean, even just like at work, or like, you know, like at lunch, or you're having a coffee break or a smoke break, you know, just like, this one's for you, or whatever the case is.
Pour a little something,
exactly.
There's also entire traditional craft like traditions that don't observe the holidays really at all. So I mean,
that is true.
Like I'm actually waiting on a book from two friends of mine, Chris Orapello, who has his own. I'm very good.
Chris Orapello's book. When is that book coming out? Because I totally want to buy it. It's like $16 on Amazon. It's on my wish list.
December 1st. I'm getting my copy probably like the second week of towards the end, because I pre-ordered for my birthday.
I need to reach out to them because I want to find out. I want to ask them, how do they make the most money from the book? Because that's the avenue in which I want to buy it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're the podcast listen to the most, too.
Down at the Crossroads.
Like, yes, really down good. At the Crossroads.
Big shout out to them.
Please go check them out, too. They're amazing people.
I will put a link in the show notes.
Their book is completely based on an animistic approach to witchcraft that doesn't necessarily have to do with holidays or even gods, just spirits and the land and working with And it's interesting because on the book it says it's not so much about where you come from, but where you are. So it's land-based magic working with where you were raised, which I absolutely love. I mean, I have other beliefs in that too, but I am
so ready to get my hands on that book. I'm just like grabby hands, like.
Me too. Definitely interested in checking that out for sure.
Absolutely. So, let's get into what we're all here dying.
Yes.
Hear about dying. Hear about spoopy stories of spoopiness.
Tell stories.
So who wants to start?
Oh man. Whoever. I mean, I'll go first if you want me to.
Yeah. Right. If you're ready. Hell yeah.
So you guys know some of my, I think I recently talked about one of my most scariest ones when I was in high school while at my mother's job.
About the morgue.
Yeah, that was probably my most intimidating one. Did I talk about that on the podcast?
You did, but could you recap it briefly? That? Because that's a good one. That scared the balls off me. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't have balls, by the way. So they got scared off by your story.
So in that particular instance, I was at my mom's job on the computer. Probably should have been doing homework, but I was looking at anime. And
as one does.
Yeah.
And a very violent spirit that I don't know was particularly, I think it was somewhere between once being human and becoming something else. I think it was kind of an infected human spirit, if you will. It basically lured me out into the hallway, towards the morgue door, through loud banging, and suddenly the door, bam, something hits it, it swings open, and there at the bottom of the door is the, like, you know, the ankle and, like, you know, a bit of the, like, a tiny bit of the calf and the foot of, that was all pale and white and brown and blue, you know, that very corpse looking color. And I had spun so fast to run that I ended up twisting my ankle. And I didn't feel it till I reached my mom's lab, which was, like, all the way down a very long... keeping in mind, obviously, the morgue was in the basement, right? So the hallways, because, you know, it's huge, huge hallway.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably the most violent spirit I've ever come across. I think. To talk about more about violent spirit stories. Now, I've been scratched. This was not really anything. I don't want to say that I was scared. I was just kind of like, the fuck? Like, it came out of nowhere. I was near my basement, which we do believe that my basement is houses a vortex, a doorway.
Mm-hmm.
In which things come and go, and
I can actually just, you know, vouch for that, because I, even though I am a practicing witch, I am still a huge skeptic of everything. And I went into that basement and I looked exactly at that corner and I was like, that's the spot. And you're like, yep, that's it. Yeah, you said no clue, no nothing. So yes, that's a fact, ladies and gentlemen.
And I have walked past my basement, and I have an open basement. And all of a sudden, my belly over here started burning. Hmm. And, like, at first, I'm, like, thinking, like, ah, what is that? You know, like, I kept, like, ignoring it, and I'm like, okay, now it's just burning, right? And I look, and I have a scratch going, like, a large scratch going, like, across my belly. And it drew blood, like it pierced the skin.
Wow.
So I was like, oh. So at that point, I realized, like, I knew I hadn't bumped into anything. I hadn't touched anything. I knew that it was something weird because I had a cup of water in my hand. All as I did was went to my fridge, poured, and I turned around, poured myself some water, put it back, and walked back to the living room. So I didn't bumping
in. Yeah, and I know the layout of your house. There's nothing in between those two points that you could really even bump into that would even scratch you.
No,
that
would do that? No.
Yeah.
And I ended up, I have this really, I found this rock. It's a regular rock. It's not like a quartz or anything like that. It's a regular stone. However, in the stone naturally formed is the oum for the rowan tree.
Interesting.
Which is a protective rune because it's a protective tree, right? So you can use it for protection. And I always thought it was so strange because I used to always do that. I used to pluck random stones, just regular stones. I was like, this thing has power. I'm going to keep it. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad I did. Well, anyway, I ended up enchanting that stone to heal me, right? And I ended up placing it on the burn. It was cold and it was nice. Don't you know, as I'm holding this thing and kind of like stroking this cut, it starts to clear up. The blood stops, the burning starts to heal. So something scratched me. Something decided that it wanted to scratch me. I mean, nothing else happened after that, but it was a very peculiar situation. And yeah, so I mean, I've had some aggressive situations in which I was physically attacked, but nothing was as scary as the morgue. That was, I think, the most intimidated I've ever been. And I've been in this is more eerie than threatening. And this isn't about a human spirit. This is about a goetic spirit named Malthus. Are you, Sophie, are you aware of Malthus at all?
I'm familiar with goetic spirits, and I always raise my eyebrows when they're mentioned because I know they can be pretty fucking heavy.
Yeah. Now, I was always told by ceremonial magicians when I was younger that, you know, goetic spirits have no interest in, you know, seeking you out. They'll never come to find you. What? Well, let me tell you something. Yeah, a lot of ceremonial magicians would argue that. I have to say that they're wrong.
You're wrong.
And I don't mean to be
I'm
mean.
Right. Your I've opinion is wrong. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, hey. Malthus wanted to make sure he was very much known. And now an acquaintance of mine is a particularly powerful magician. He's a Luciferian, and he is trained in, I would honestly probably, he says it's Haitian voodoo, but I argue it's probably more New Orleans-style voodoo, but we're not particularly close anymore. But anyway, he is a powerful magician, and he was with me one night, and many odd things began to happen. Many, many odd things. It all started with a possession. Of me for a brief moment. I was sleeping and I started becoming lucid. I was not frozen in place. This was not sleep paralysis. I was lucid, but my eyes weren't open, but I couldn't open my eyes. And all of a sudden I could hear my thoughts. And now I'm a big boy. I am a very big boy. I really don't have much in the way of midsection muscle. And I start hearing my own thoughts, and I'm saying to myself, what's happening? Why can't I open my eyes? Why can't I move? Coming up on my bed like that. And as I'm coming up, I'm going, Malthus. And when I finish his name, my eyes, boom. And I'm like, oh.
Shit.
And I'm like, and now I'm getting chills talking about it. But
so I actually have some information on Malthus. It's actually one of the cards in the Demon Tarot.
Yeah, he is.
So just a visual for everybody. So Malthus.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
So for the audio only people, because I don't know, how would you guys describe Malthus? He's humanoid.
Humanoid crow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Who wears pants? Apparently that's fiction.
And carries a trowel, which has ties to masonry.
Yes. He's known to bring good familiars to people.
I can give you a little background on what this has here.
Just, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So, one of his forms is that of a raven, and even when he manifests in human form, he is unable to hide his harsh, loud voice. Which is interesting that you were, like, leaning up and going, Malphus, like very forceful like that. Malphus's specialty is that of architecture and engineering, which is kind of what Sophia mentioned. Not only can he assist those who summon him with building towers and walls that cannot be climbed over or broken down, but also he can point out the structural weaknesses in other structures so that they may be broken down. He's good at finding capable workers and good familiars for those who summon him, which is what Scott was talking about. Familiars are perhaps less useful in our everyday lives, but a strongly structured company requires a foundation of good workers. So we see that Malphus's skeleton building are not only with wood and stone, but also with people. So he might actually be a good one to work with if you're maybe like a project manager or in some sort of management position or something like that.
Interesting.
You've got to like manage people.
No, of course. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, and then because this is from the Daemon Tarot,
mm-hmm.
or the Daemon Tarot. So basically, the divination that was saying behind this, if you pull this card, focus on physical or metaphorical structure, creating strong foundations or finding weaknesses in seemingly indestructible barriers. So that's just some background on Malphus, the entity that Scott was talking about.
It sounds a lot like my father.
He does seem very dadly, doesn't he? Like very like
specifically my dad being a construction boss who like tears other people apart sometimes.
You want to know something funny? The Malphus is definitely not one of the harsher goetic spirits. He's very polite. He's very cordial. He's definitely not like a Lucifuge Rofakel or which. As I mention these names, I do want to give a precursor. No, I do not necessarily believe they are innately evil. However, I do not suggest any of our new witchy followers, without prior research and without understanding the basis of magical protection, self-defense, etc., working with any of these spirits for your safety, the safety of your own sanity, the safety of the people around you, and your... Please just learn. Anyway...
The spirit world is not the internet. You don't just punch it in and hope for the best. That's not what we do.
Yeah. Right. However, he is a very polite spirit, but he was very forceful. Which is interesting. I'm telling this story, and I'll tell you why in a minute. In particular with the familiar situation. There was one point during this evening. Soon after that, I think the weekend prior to me waking up with that little moment of spirit possession where my acquaintance had come over and we always talk shop every time he would come over when we were younger. We were two young magicians who would do nothing but talk about witchcraft, and we would read grimoires and the Luciferian witchcraft and you know, we would read like Jason Miller, and like that's all we did was read tarot, and it was actually pretty cool, not gonna lie.
Okay.
We felt like badasses, although we were just total nerds. But anyway,
aren't we all?
At one point, he went to use the bathroom, and I'm sitting in the room, and I had asked him. That's right, because I had asked him to come over and bring the Goetia, and I had said, you know, I have to look up the spirit. I said, I drew. That's right. After I said that, I drew his sigil, his seal. I drew the seal of Malphus because I dreamt about it. I remember now. And when I came up. That's right. It's one of the things that I saw and I forgot. Anyway, I had drew it and I showed him and he's like, look. And he brings the Goetia and he shows me and I find Malphus. And he had went to use the bathroom. So I'm looking and I'm reading. And all of a sudden, this very strange chill crept over me. And I was like, and I stopped and I looked up and nothing was in the room with me. And I remember all of a sudden, I'm like, it's taking him really long. He just had to, you know, go number one, you know? Like, he's taking forever. So all of a sudden, I open the door and a wind, like a real, like a wind. And like it moved my beard. I still had a beard then too. And it moved my hair. My hair was a little bit longer than I used to have a ponytail down the middle of my back many, many years ago, and I still
Oh my
have it.
God, you should do that again.
I can't. I don't. I'm going bald now, so
Oh,
I'm
I'm
getting
sorry.
thin. So.
That's okay. Just grow more face hair. It's fine. It'll make up for it.
Yeah.
But he was like, I was like, whoa, and like I stopped, and David looked. He was watching this shadow, on my, I guess it was like on my mother's bedroom door. At the same time as I'm in the room thinking and looking at this grimoire of and this depiction of Malthus. So we were discussing like what this all means and how this all like why me? Like I don't work with those kind of grimoires. I like to read about them, and I kind of the spirits inside of them are great, but I don't follow ceremonial high magic techniques just because of personal moral things with me. But I had done nothing about it. Like, we were still just relaxing. So we were up all night because, one, we were kind of freaked out. The sun was coming up, and I remember we finally went to sleep. And I go, and there was a glass shattered. The cabinet door was open, and a glass had shattered everywhere. But the thing is that the cabinet, that you see the cabinet, Jay, you'll know this because you know the layout of my house. The cabinet closest to my back door.
Yeah, that one.
Well, the glass was shattered near my refrigerator.
That's across the kitchen.
Yeah.
That's opposite.
Damn.
Wow.
So
like it was thrown, like it launched from the cabinet.
He was very forceful. And the weird thing was, is that at the end of the day, it really was just about me spending more time with my familiar spirits, you know. And because when you're that young, you know, you're still kind of using those appropriated terms of like totem animal or spirit animal. No offense. I know, like, you know, it's comfortable language. You know, it's funny because I always feel bad when it comes to appropriation, because like as a psychologist and as somebody who enjoys sociology, I also understand the comfort of language. Like when I said use guys, you know, it was kind of like that's a cultural thing. What I'm saying? Like for me, it's something I grew up with, and it's not gendered. It's everyone that I'm talking to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it's something that I've learned to just accept hearing when people are speaking to a group of people is often guys, which I don't get upset about. I used to, but there's better things to spend my energy on in life.
Yeah. So, well, anyway, the weird thing, the reason I said it's weird that this is coming up now, and the reason I'm thinking about it is weird, just because my familiars recently came to me, and I'm sorry if I'm pausing. I'm waiting to see if they're going to be like, waiting for that kind of like.
Yeah.
Don't talk about it.
They're not. They're cool. They're chill.
They're not giving you the veto.
No, they're not. They're not like saying like, I get like, I normally get like a feeling, but anyway, they came to me, or they were like, look, we love you and we're here for you. And the only thing is that like, you know, our relationship will fade if you don't work with us. And I was like, okay, well, I don't want that to happen. I was like, so, and I actually got upset. Like, I was like, I don't want you guys to leave, you know? And so they were like, you know, build us a spirit house, a spirit pot, something like that. Something
Rest.
That they can anchor in.
Mm-hmm.
So the weird thing is that I kept getting, my mom pulled out these gorgeous glass, I guess they're candy dishes that were my grandmother's, but they're gorgeous. Like they're those old, like blown glass.
Ooh.
So, you know, they're like real good quality. It's thick glass. They're beautifully done. And I kept looking at them like, I really hope she doesn't get rid of them. I don't know what I'm going to use it for. And she's been like taking them up one at a time. And I finally, like, just the other day, just I think on the 30th, I went, oh, That's why. There are these, and I'm saying, like, these are nice candy dishes, and they're deep. And they were like, you know, they were like that. And as soon as I figured it out, I was like, yeah, okay. So I have them downstairs. I'm gonna clean them, cleanse them, and I'm gonna try to like sigilize kind of a make a seal kind of for my familiars and put them in there
Nice.
with appropriate stuff. The only problem is like my familiars, they kind of like they want fancy shit that I don't have the money for right now. So I was kind of like telling them, like, I'm like, if you guys want that stuff, you guys got to bring me more like business, you know, like,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is a working
equal
relationship. This is
exchange.
how this works.
Which is funny because last night I did my own reading, when I was waiting for other readings, and it actually said that whatever I did last night, I'm gonna get out there more. So here's hoping.
That's
But
awesome.
so yeah, the Malphas situation was that was intimidating, but for other reasons.
I got a lot of spooky stories. Some of them I'm not going to tell here because some really outlandish shit happens and I don't feel comfortable sharing it. And it's almost like the feeling that Scott's talking about with his spirit saying, nah, don't share that one. So I'm going to tone this one down a little bit and do a safer one. But the whole town that I grew up in is haunted. It's like literally a liminal space because two rivers fork together. It's a crossroads. One of the rivers flows backwards to get to the valley. It flows like south to north. I don't understand why. And there's like old myths of the place being like connected to the other world. So there's always been this whole funk to the town, right?
What you're saying is you're actually Sabrina from the town of Greendale.
It's like maybe a
Sabrina,
cross with
Sophia, what's the
Sabrina, a
difference?
cross with Buffy, you know, and like a
Yeah.
cross with Gay Witch, you know. So, but I had active hauntings in my house from a very young age. So did one of my best friends, Tyler Watson, who grew up in the same town with me. My only actual like magic friend I ever did stuff with, because I've mainly been a solitary practitioner. But I started off as a hard skeptic before I was like really into magic. I didn't necessarily believe in ghosts. I had a lot of periods where I was trying to like push everything away. So disbelief was my shield. But when I started getting past my adolescent phases and everything was starting to pressure me to get back into magic, shortly after I picked up a tarot deck, no less, things kind of started happening in my house. And the first instance of a poltergeist probably was the one that upset me the most. I used to do ghost hunting with my friends where we would go to the cemetery late at night and take photos. And we got some really good photos that are like lost to time. You'll never have them back, but had some cool stuff happen on those. And like we had this one time where we were ghost hunting and had this electronic phenomena of interference of like clicking on the radios, which only happens when you're near a high energy source. But we're in the middle of a graveyard that has no power leads running through it. And we were just getting this like clicking constantly on the radio. And my friend was like, this is like really creepy and like weird kind of subtle static. So there's definitely some stuff there. But I was talking about this to one of my internet friends from the day who lived in the UK. And she's like, wow, I'm so amazed you like do ghost hunting. That's so brave. And I said, hey, ghost hunting isn't really that spooky. It's like poltergeists and stuff that really are scary. They just have this angry energy. And as soon as I hit the enter key on that message, I shit you not, I'm alone in the house and I hear something just hit the floor in the kitchen and I lock up. And I
And
like
you're like, oh shit.
and I hear it bounce and I'm like, oh, I'm just overreacting. It's probably a butter knife just falling off the edge of the counter that somebody left precariously. I walk into the kitchen. And there's this little red dish that my mom leaves on top of the microwave. It's about, I don't know, that big, so like 2 inches long, inch and a half wide. And it's like a square box, so it couldn't have slipped on anything. And she just had things like pennies and magnets or paper clips or random miscellaneous things she'd throw in it. And this thing had been thrown from the microwave, bounced off of the wall that was like 3 to 4 feet in front of it, and met like bounced around the corner of my what's the word I'm looking for? Countertop there, because that's how the kitchen was arranged. And I froze up because like there's evidence of this thing having just chucked something against the wall right after I talked about poltergeist. I was so damn scared. I got my keys off the half wall, ran out to my car barefoot in the middle of winter, no shoes on, drove to my friend's house.
Canadian winter.
Yeah. Yeah, in the middle of, like, January. Got my friend Nathan, and I was like, Ghost, in my house, you gotta come right now. And every, like, people are used to me showing up to their house and just, like, stammering crazy shit at a later point. But this is one of the first instances of it. And they're like, okay. So Nathan comes with me, and I'm like, there is the dish, because I didn't touch it, and it bounced around the corner, and he's like, yeah, that's fucked. How'd that get around there? Like, this point that could have actually happened. So I was, like, calming down now that there was somebody else in the house who had, like, seen it. Well, that was just the first instance of it. There was another instance where I was doing, like, a discussion about magic with someone, and we have, like, this piece of wood cut out to cover one of the windows in our house, and it just got knocked down out of nowhere and just scared the bejesus of me. And, like, other things would just, like, move or knock or get thrown around. So I got kind of used to it past a point. And it reached a really weird climax. When I had this cat who was in the kitchen with me one day, and sometimes in the corner of my eyes, I would see these little shadows, right? And I normally associated them with, like, drifters, stuff that you see in your eye, like floating gunk. And I'm like, that's just a natural phenomenon. Until I saw a cat chasing the shadow that I was seeing in my eye across the floor, pawing at it. I'm like, what? So later on that night, while I'm in my personal bedroom space, I started seeing those, like, kind of shadow orbs moving around. And I'm like, okay, if you're actually something that I'm seeing right now, can you, like, do anything at all to let me know that you're there? And I had a dresser with one of the drawers taken out, and there was, like, a void in there, and I had, like, a bag sitting there, and the bag got pushed and, like, did a full rollover, and I was like, whoa, that's really cool, but can you do anything else? And I was stupid because I'm pushing a spirit at this point that's actively displayed stuff to me. So I have a kukri, the one that I used when I was staring down the cougar when I talked about my last scary magic story. It was on my bed next to me at the time, and it got pulled off the bed, and it slid down my leg. And luckily it was the dull side, but it slid down my leg and landed on the floor. And I put my hands up, and I was like, okay, that is enough. Thank you. I don't want to see anymore, and I believe that you're there. And
it reminds me of, like, Jar Jar Binks. Oh, I give up.
I give up. I get that you're there. So that was a really active case of it. And there was, like, a spirit in the swamp next to the house there that haunted my family for generations that I recently had to, like, go to battle with before I left BC for good, because my dad was fucking coerced by the thing to buying the only house on that property that was right next to the house that I grew up in as a child, right? So, like, I had to go back there with, like, friends and, like, use a sigil that I got in a dream where I fought this thing to, like, banish it out of the swamp. My hometown's crazy, y'all.
Damn.
So that's my poltergeist story with a little extra flavoring in there.
Wow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, straight out of a movie. That's, like, really straight out of a movie, but, like, damn.
Yeah. It's weird because, like, stuff like that doesn't really happen outside of my hometown. Like, everything now is much more chill and, like, flows with everything. Like, if I'm having a spirit work with me, it's usually something of my own doing. But, like, in that space, anybody can see magic things. It don't matter who they are.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that you say that because now, my mother and I, it's believed by me and my mother and my aunt. This house that I live in has been in my family for
long time.
Over 50-something years. And the house itself is over 100 years old. When my aunt was living here with her family some time ago, nothing really weird happened when they were living in this house. But of course, my uncle's a huge skeptic, which is funny, coming from the Philippines, you know, because if my mom's other friend who she worked with, she came from the Philippines as well, but she came from the countryside, so she is much more open to witchcraft and magic and psychics and things. But anyway, he's very skeptical. And however, it's the belief that because I came here, you know, a young medium, you know, comes into a home with a sort of an inactive vortex, and all of a sudden the vortex is like, whoosh, you know?
Yep.
Well, anyway, it started with what my mom calls the hallway dweller. This particular spirit was not evil. It was not good. It just existed. I think it was the demovoy of our house, the spirit of our house. However, I think because this house falls apart so much and we're very poor, you know, we don't have the money to keep up with the house, I think that the demovoy must have left to go somewhere else, because I haven't felt this particular hallway dweller. And the reason we used to call him that is because he would, with this spirit, I say he, but this particular spirit would get very active sometimes and very not active in others. You would always feel being watched. Like, if you were ever in my mother's room, just sitting on the one side of her bed, you would always go like this, because you always see someone peeking out from around the corner. And you're like, you would go like that, and it would, like, play with you, right? Now, of course, for me, I would be able to catch it, like, mid-doing this, you know, looking around, and I would stare at it, and it would go behind the wall again. But it wasn't evil, it wasn't mean, it had no malicious intention. It was just like, what are you doing? I want to know.
Like a cat.
Yeah. However, the most, it had this one thing. It was, I think it was just trying something new. This one week in October, and I think it was because of the month of October, it was two separate times. So it happened to my mom first. So it was a Friday. I had to go to school, and I left before my mom. My mom was here. She was getting her shower, getting ready to leave for work. And suddenly she hears footsteps walking from my room to the bathroom. Mm. And she thought I forgot something. Well, obviously, I was not there. The next day was a Saturday, and my mom used to work every other. It was every other Saturday, so that's how she was working. I was getting a shower, and it happened again, only with me. The only thing was, is that being, you know, my mom's a sensitive, but she would never work on it to really bloom her gifts. But for me, I knew it was right outside the door. So what I ended up doing was, just because I got nervous, and I know the spirit meant no ill intention, but I was scared a little, because I heard footsteps. I ended up getting some of the water from the shower, and I did like a little, you know, I exercised the O creature of water to be for me a tool of cleansing and protection. Wherever you are cast, no evil or harmful thing lasts, you know, and I kind of exercised like this little cup full of water, and I dipped my fingers in it, and I put like a pentagram on the door, and I just like...
You were ready.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. and I mean, I know it didn't have any intention, but I didn't like the fact that it infringed without permission.
I feel that.
Especially like in such a vulnerable place. Like, I was naked and in the shower, and like, God forbid it was like someone came into the house. Like, I was scared, you know, and not just for the ghost thing, but like, what if it was a creeper, you know? Like, yeah.
I think everyone has always had that thought. Like, at least once in their life, like, all right, so if someone breaks into my house right now while I'm in the shower, what is my plan? I feel like I've thought about that more than the average person. I don't know. Yeah. Am I weird? Has everyone had that thought at least once? Okay.
I used to have a weapon hidden in every single room.
Okay. Prepared. Sophia is actually a ninja.
I may be a practiced martial artist at black belt from the youngest age they'd let me be. You know, it's a thing.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Black belt in Taekwondo.
That's awesome. I want to get back to martial arts. But anyway, so that happened. And after I did that, I think when I put the pentagram on the door, he kind of, well, one, the energy kind of dissipated. But two, I think he realized that was like a little too close. I have this thing with spirits, like, you're only allowed to get so close as I allow you to, right? For instance, they know when I'm trying to sleep, like when it's nighttime and I'm going to bed, nighttime is my time. You don't appear around my bed. You don't grab me when I'm sleeping. You don't appear in front of my face. You don't do any of that. That's my time. I don't want to be scared when I'm trying to sleep. And they know that. The problem is, of course, is that wards and protective magic are not perfect. Things can get through. And of course, there are sometimes spirits that are kind of like, I really don't give a fuck what you say. I'm here to scare the shit out of you and feed upon your life force. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are the times where, like, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm waking up and I'm like burning, you know, like banishing incense, and I'm like ringing my altar bell and I'm like, get the fuck out, get the fuck out.
Oh,
like that meme you see everywhere, like banging pots and pans together.
I'm gonna
be gone. Stop.
I was burning this whole conversation.
I could tell both of you are. You both have incense burning.
I do, yeah.
I'm sitting here with like my window open and I'm just like, oh.
Okay. Well, when I started seeing shadows in the corner of my vision when you told your first story, I was like, no, I'm not, I don't have time for this right now.
Yeah, yeah. Ghost stories, like I said, I think I said before, ghost stories is the easiest way to conjure spirits.
Yep.
But, whatchacallit. So, that kind of progressed, actually.
What's freaking me out is my cats are all, like, roaming around. I'm like, stop it! Stop it!
One of the things that kind of got really interesting, we had this situation, I don't think it was the same spirit. Me and my mother, we saw at completely different times for months. We would be coming up the steps at night, and you would see, like, darker than the dark from my bathroom, you would see something. I'm trying to do this in a way. So it would lean unhumanly out of the door, turn its head back, and come back up.
Ugh.
And now...
Dude, I live in a basement. And it's like dark down here. I'm like,
keep burning that incense, Jay.
My mother and I did not say anything to each other for months. We were both seeing it. Now, at first, my mother was contacts, but the thing is, you know, she can't always afford to get the new one. So she's always like sitting there moving it around.
Yeah.
And she goes, no, it's just my contacts. Well, eventually she realized, because she was wearing her glasses, it's not the contacts. So one day, after like 2 months, she's coming down. She goes, Scott. I'm like, yeah. And she goes, when you're going up the steps at night the bathroom, do you ever see? And I go, oh, what, this? And I do what the spirit does. My mother's face goes white as hell. She goes,
oh, no.
And I'm like, my mother. My mother has this opinion of, like, she doesn't want to see it. Like, she believes in it, and she knows it's there, and she feels it, but she doesn't want to see it, which is why she doesn't, like, enhance her own gifts.
I could just picture your mom, like, I don't want to, nope, don't tell me anything.
It was pretty much over. Once I did exactly what the spirit did without us saying anything.
She's like, don't tell me that. I don't want to know anymore. Leaves. Go shopping.
She was astonished, but that once again, and it's funny because we saw the exact same thing. Like, we sat down and compared notes. This thing wasn't human. Whatever it was not like a dead person. It was something else.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so what did that look like? So you said it, like, it leaned back, like, what, like, so out from the bathroom door?
Yeah.
Okay, so it leaned back, but, like, what did it look like? See, that's always the thing that I'm really curious of, because I'm not super sensitive to these things. So I'm like, when you say it wasn't human, like,
so it was long, it look okay. Like? So it was a shadow darker than the dark, and it was thin, and it leaned back, like, unhumanly. Like, it leaned back to the point of, like, in half.
I regret asking. Yeah.
And
did it have glowing eyes?
No, there was nothing there.
Oh, blank face.
It was just a blank face, darker than the dark shadow, that can lean itself in half, turn its head back, and lean up slowly. So you can all imagine this happening very slowly and ominously. Oh. But this spirit never attacked. It never hurt anybody. When the lights come on, it dispersed. Like, it wasn't there when the lights were there.
Dude, I'm surprised you don't carry a flashlight around your house, because I would. Here's I might start thing. Doing that now.
I'd live in a
house. Here's the reason why I won't do that. When I start doing that, they start disobeying my orders. So, like, when I tell the spirits in this house, or when I tell the things that are coming through, when I start saying to them, like, no, there are rules to this house. Like, I have spells around the vortex that they know. Like, when you come here, there are rules. Nighttime is my time. You don't touch me. You don't come near me unless I'm open to you. You can show me a sign in a peaceful way, but you're not to scare me. Like, there are, like, rules. And I don't feel bad about these rules either. Like, I'm not mean, but disobey my rules. Huh? Yeah, but it's the same thing with...
It's just like people.
Just like people. And, yeah. The second...
I would almost say that you work with spirits a little bit better than you do with people.
Called out.
I only say this because I know you, like, personally. In the flesh.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, well, I would say, I mean, I can handle people's emotions. I'm very good with people. Yeah. But as far as dealing with, like, aggressive people, I can't. I see what you're saying. I'm not good with physical aggression. But when it comes to spirits, you're going to respect me. But that's also because I grew up. One of my earliest memories of seeing a ghost. God, I can't believe we're going here. And it's not a ghost. It was something. It was something. Now, I'm not big on, like, demons because... personal opinions, but if I were to say that there is definitely something on the other side that is probably close to what people think a demon would be.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. When I was younger, now I'm not very much into astral projection now, mostly because when I try to leave my body now, I have panic attacks. For some reason, my mental health has absorbed that as a narrative, as a tool to kind of attack me, I guess. Just because I shame myself a lot. But when I was younger, I would leave my body like that. I would leave my body all the time when I was younger. And I was living in Jersey at the time, and we had this playroom. It was a den with sliding doors. I never got to meet my grandmother. Well, anyway, one night I was projecting. I used to run around the house in astral form.
Whoa.
As a kid, and I used to have many weird astral things, like, and it's funny now, because, like, I, you know, knowing what I know about, like, chaos magic and stuff, like, there was one time where the trash can started becoming, like, a portal, like, the trash can was, like, and I had to run away from it, because I was getting sucked in. And then the one time, though, that was scary, but nothing compared to this. I never got to meet my grandmother. She died a couple years before I was born. And I met her in spirit previously, but anyway, in this particular travel, I was in my den playing with my toys. And all of a sudden, there's a knock, and it's nighttime. There's a knock at the screen door, and there is who somehow I knew to be my grandmother. I don't know how I knew it was her, but it was definitely her because I saw the picture years later. She kept saying, and it's weird how I knew not to open the door. But anyway, I'm standing there. She says, "Open the door, Scotty. You know, I'll come play with you."
Yeah.
And I'm going for the door, and all of a sudden she starts trying to hurry me. Come on, open the door. Open the door. Open the door.
No, I got the chills.
And, like,
nope.
It's like time is, like, going slower and slower as I'm trying to get to the door. Come on, Scott, open the door. And all of a sudden, she yells at me because time is getting slower as my hand's going towards the door. And all of a sudden, she goes, "Open the door." And, like, the door rattles and there's, like, a wind. I remember, like, there's wind. From outside.
You're like, "Listen, lady, you're really pushy."
And all of a sudden, she's gone.
Oh. And it was not her, then.
It wasn't. It wasn't her.
No.
And the door wasn't the door to outside. It was
the door.
Yeah. Open the door. Open the door. Yeah.
Yeah.
And at that moment, as soon as she disappeared, I looked, and everything was calm. And I vaguely remember at one point, it tried to be other people that I was friendly with. My two babysitters were a brother and sister that lived across the street. Julie and Andrew? Luke? I don't know. He had a very typical white boy name. He was very nice. And like they both like walked up, but I was like, why would they be outside at this time? Like, for such a young little child, I was oddly able to connect with some sort of higher intelligence that I was able to reason things that I feel like in my physical body I wouldn't have been able to.
Yeah.
So maybe it was probably guides and my ancestors kind of being like telling me I just couldn't tell the difference in spirit form.
Yeah.
And eventually what would always happen is by the end of these dreams, there would be a tug at the back of my spine, at the bottom of my spine, and the next thing I know, Scott, wake up, and I'm waking up, and it was over.
Yeah.
Damn.
So I forget. Jesus, I have so many stories I forget about. I live my life haunted. So like, shit.
Yeah, I live my life haunted.
God.
Yeah, I think that one freaked me out the most. The open the door thing, because
you know what's crazy? After all these years, only now, like in this moment, talking to you guys, that I realized that that's what they were talking about. Open the door, Scott. Open the door. It wasn't the door. It was so that way they can get in and torture me, you know, my family, torture my, like, possess my home, you know, like.
So what do you think that you think they were just malevolent? So this was the thing, the entity that you were saying was probably the closest thing to a demon or our interpretation of a demon. Yeah.
Because generally speaking, I'm big on like the Greek and Roman daemon, you know, like. Spirits that could be either malevolent. Well, maybe that is the case, because technically speaking, daemons could be benevolent and malevolent, right? So they were just one class. Instead of having angels and demons, they were just demons. And
some were
good, some were bad, blah. So maybe that's all it was. But whatever that particular spirit was, did not have my best interest at heart.
Yeah. I personally find that like not everything falls into the categorization of angel and demon sometimes, because that's like a very Catholic mindset almost of how the world works, and in a lot
it always bothers me.
There's just spirits, and just they do things, and they're like pirates. I liken everything to pirates. I do pirate magic, but like they're as individual as people, you know, and some of them really just want to hurt you, and some of them are actually going to help you, and like it really helps having connection to something that can kind of be like, yeah, don't open that door right now. Don't scream over, please don't.
Yeah. It's like literally like stranger danger. Like when you're like
magical stranger danger. Yeah.
Yeah.
Punny. But God, I you know, it was terrifying. But I used to have other dreams too. There were times where I would project to the local park, and one night in particular, soon after that event, opened my eyes to the park, and once again, it's nighttime, and I remember all of a sudden this crazy storm slowly starts kind of building, and the swings start moving, and I could hear children's laughter, but it was ominous and creepy. Yeah. And, like, the little, you know those swirly things? Not like a carrot, like the, you could run on, like, you can,
yeah.
There's swirls that you could.
They're meant to make five-year-olds vomit on the rocks.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're called, though. They're not carousels, but it's just.
No, I don't know.
The spinny thing in the playground.
Yeah, it started, like, slowly spinning. And I remember something told me I had to leave. And I don't.
The spinny thing, maybe. Maybe that told you.
The swing slowly moving. Yeah, I don't know.
It's children's laughter and the swing slowly starting to go.
I know, like sometimes when I hear like little kids laugh, I'm like, no.
And like, sometimes it fills your heart with warmth if it's actually like coming from a positive source. You can tell. Yeah, you can just feel it.
You can tell the difference. But if the sun is down and I hear children's laughter, it's like automatically like,
God, y'all, I'm getting so cheered up.
And once again, that same tug.
I didn't think I'd get so freaked out by this episode. I really didn't think so. And I'm sitting here like, I'm glad that like Katie's not here. Like she's out to dinner, but so I could, you know, record and stuff. But also, I'm like, when you coming home, BB?
Both of you are like this episode, right? We're doing like group banishing after this, right?
Yeah, we're gonna need to. Yeah,
I'm probably gonna do something, but that's also because like, there's also spirits on the breeze right now. Like I keep like feeling stuff blowing
by. I literally
by.
felt a breeze on my legs earlier while we were talking, yeah.
Yeah, there's like spirits on the wind, but that's just because the door's still open and it's gonna be, so I'll do it after. But
oh, can I segue to something from that it reminds me
please.
Of?
Please.
I fucking have issues with doors opening on me, and I don't know what it is, but so many houses I live in, the door mechanism just goes, and they're just, like, able to just open by themselves, and, like, it fucks with me. And, like, I'm so grateful to actually have a door here that closes, but, like, our bathroom door, where I do a lot of my ritual work, started doing that again, because it's always wherever I do my most magic, so I had to, like, start jamming shampoo bottles under the door to stop it from opening and shit, and just being like, I will block you by any means possible. And, like, it just, a week ago, not even, just went back to working perfectly normal, and we're like, what the fuck is this? So, I don't know, and, like, I'm a firm believer that if I leave a door even slightly ajar, I'm asking spirits to just come kick that fucker open, be into my space, and be like, hey, I'm here. You want to be afraid right now? So I'm always like, I close that goddamn door, and if it's opening, I'm going to put a fucking, like, chair against it, or, like, wedge bottles underneath. I'm going to find a way to latch that bastard so nothing's getting in.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because it is so easy to unintentionally create liminal spaces.
I've noticed.
One of the things that I refuse to let happen, and I know this is silly because it's superstition, but I've always felt like it was a call to something, letting a rocking chair rock by itself.
Oh, don't even have a rocking chair in your space.
No.
And yes, if anyone's going to ask in the comments, yes, it has rocked on its own. Mm. Yes, I've stopped it. It's, yeah. But
fucking wedges under those things, man.
But when they rock, like when my cats will sleep on it and they jump off, it'll rock on its own. Yeah. And it's funny because I've always was like, okay, I have to stop that. Not because, like, I mean, it always comes with an eerie feeling, but I never knew why until I started really getting interested in, like, Victorian death culture.
Oh, God.
And apparently in the Victorian era, doing that invited ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure. So now, like, whenever that thing is moving, like, if I bump into it or if my cats jump off of it or something, I purposely walk over and I stop it on purpose.
Yeah.
You know what? I do that too if I see, like, a rocking chair or, like, a rocking – or if I see something, like, rocking like that, I don't know. I always thought it was, like, just, like, a me thing. So maybe that's one of those, like, underlying, like, stranger danger witch self-defense protocols that kick in.
Yeah, I find it's like kind of tying a little bit of a physical action into like my wording, where
like
if something's easily
too.
Influenced. Yeah, if something's easily influenced, I will like put a physical limiter on it so it won't be able to do that, because sometimes taking a physical action is the most powerful magical thing you can do to get something to stop. So like if you don't want your rocking chair to fucking keep going and your spells aren't working, get two wedges. Put them underneath each side. It's not going anywhere, no matter how much that ghost pushes on it. They'll find something better to do. And, like, I've found ways to just, like, limit my space of interactions like that so that they don't just have those easy ins to do it. And it's almost like subtle actions to not invite them in, you know?
Yeah. Because, honestly, like, goodly spirits, the second something like that happens, that's, you know, that moment of, like, eerie? That mm-hmm. comes for you, like, not necessarily scare, but that moment, like, oh, that's eerie. Yeah,
chills.
The chill. That feeds them. Mm-hmm. That moment is what they feed on, right? So when you do feel eerie, when they are able to interact, it enables them to interact more.
Yes.
So the more they can interact, et cetera. So I totally feel what you're putting down there, Sophia.
And I tell them to fuck off a lot, like sometimes actively telling them to just get out, and if they don't listen, I'm going to bust open my spell book, light some incense, and do a lesser banishing of the ritual pentagram, and like clear the entire space out, and that usually does it.
I threaten them with putting them in bottles.
I have a really, really high power threat that I only pull out if I really fucking have to, and I've only had to use once in my entire life, so... Bottle threat's good, though. Like, bottle them or put them in, like, a mirrored box and cast them into the ocean, Solomonic style. That one usually gets them alone. Just be like, oh, fuck you.
That's exactly... I always say that, too. I was like, I will put you in a bottle with some frankincense resin, which I will start heating up while you're in there, mm-hmm. and then toss you into the friggin' Penn's Landing. What's that river over there?
I think that's the Delaware. right?
The Delaware. I will toss you in the fucking Delaware. No one will ever find you again.
Sometimes you gotta really threaten a cut of spirit. Like, you know, you can't take shit from them because they you give them an inch, like, and they take a mile.
Sometimes I feel like less of a witch because I don't have a lot of these, like, spirit supernatural sort of interactions.
Yeah.
And I know that there's other people out there just like me, you know. So I think that's why some people sometimes, like, will fabricate stories, you know, just to try and feel, you know. But sometimes I feel like less of a witch, but I feel like I make up for it in other ways. But, like, I don't know, like, but it's just kind of interesting because I'm like, I have felt eerie feelings before. I guess I just haven't been aware. Mm-hmm. I guess because I'm just such a skeptic when it comes to it. That's not my immediate go-to.
Yeah.
You know, my immediate go-to is not like, you know, hey, spirits. Listen. And also the other thing, too, is I have, because I'm not as sensitive to spirits, I don't do a lot of, like, spirit work or anything like that, like you guys do. So, I feel like if I did encounter something, I would almost really not even know how to be prepared for it.
I mean, I always think with you, like, for me, like, knowing you, you are very, like,
mm-hmm.
when you saw that curse, you felt it the same way all of us did.
Yeah, I touched it like a moron.
you were banking on your amulet to protect you, which I understood. I mean, anyone could have made that. You know what I'm saying? It just broke your ward. That's all. It was just stronger than the ward. That happens all the time. To all of us. I don't care who the fuck you are. But you felt it. Like, I mean, that's the same thing. If you were very earthy as a person. You exude this very earthy energy. You were very much about the world you can see. Your wealth, your well-being, you like to kind of build your physical worlds, to worry about it, to focus on that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You generally have never really allowed yourself that, the whimsy of that kind of more watery existence, that more emotional existence. And I wanted to ask you, do you feel like that's an emotional or like in a defense mechanism?
Probably, yeah. Ooh. I would say that's probably right. Yeah. I never, because I know spirit work, it's like you said, it is more watery. It is more rooted in emotion and stuff like that. And I think I could probably tie, I can tie it back to one instance in my life. It's right before I started kindergarten. And my dad said to me, he said, you can't have feelings. You can't let people know you have feelings. And I was like, okay, well, what does that mean? And he says, well, this is what you do. When you get to school, you take all your feelings and you put them in your pencil box and you close it.
That's
and hard. So I think I took that, like, very, very literally. I feel like there is some Pandora's box, like, within my psyche somewhere where all my, like, emotions are, and I so like I'm not saying like I'm an emotionless, like, robot or anything, because you
no.
know me, I'm not, but no. I it's very hard for me to tap in.
Yeah,
it's very hard for me to tap into that.
I just want to give you both a scenario right now. When you told me that, I have, like, this miniature Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung finally getting along inside of my brain right now. Slap your father. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I mean, join the club. No.
They're, like, ready to attack. They're, like, these two, like, little chibi.
Are we going to rename this podcast Daddy Issues and Witchcraft?
Daddy Issues. That would be a great, like... That would be a great, like, topic, though. Like, a funny one.
Oh, my God.
Like, a dark,
really
funny
really serious, though. I talk about that all the time in therapy. That's all I talk about in therapy, are my daddy issues.
Oh, same.
Yeah, maybe we'll do it as a live stream. Anyone who wants to tune into the daddy issues and magic episode, please, feel free.
If we get enough people, I might actually cry on live stream, and you can watch melt into a puddle of running eyeliner.
Same.
And then everyone can, like, share their daddy issues, and we can all just talk about it.
I'm overwhelmed already just hearing about it.
The wonderful thing about witchcraft is that we already know that you have it. Mm-hmm. You've sensed many things, and you still do. Like you said, you're not like an emotional whatever or lack any emotion. You've shown a lot of clairvoyance and intuitiveness. It's just something for you to work on. It's to be honest with you, I would personally suggest start doing spirit work. That's honestly what I would say to do.
It's kind of like the more you practice with it, the better you get.
Mm-hmm. Right. Even like for instance, like a lot of people are talking about this right now on the show, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Believe it or not, there's a lot of spells on there that are either A, really usable. There's an exorcism scene in which...
No spoilers.
Katie went ahead, so I was watching it with Joyce. We reached a point, and then Katie surpassed that point. So I think I have, like, one or two episodes that I haven't seen. I have seen what you're talking about, though, but I just don't want to spoil it for anyone else.
Okay. So,
however, I will say, and I do want to get into it more because I do want to do, like a witchcraft and pop culture sort of thing. The Sabrina reboot is very good. There's a lot of tangible shit that you can pull from that. Believe it or not.
Have you watched it, Sophia?
I was hearing y'all talk about it right now. I'm like thinking to myself, if we're doing a witchcraft and pop culture episode, I'm gonna have to like do some back study because
it's only 10 episodes, so it's okay. Not too much of a commitment. They're about an hour each, so it's not too much of a commitment.
I pretty much don't watch any TV or movies aside from Steven Universe, so I'll make the effort for Sabrina.
Yeah. Do you have Netflix right now?
I could steal my sister's.
Yeah, I would suggest it just based on the fact that there is some tangible shit. And yeah. I have rarely ever felt like that from any sort of pop culture media kind of thing at all.
I'll say this without giving anything away, and I'm sorry for giving anything away already. There's one particular spell that I didn't know was actually taken from Mastering Witchcraft by Paul Husson.
The book.
Really?
Yes.
You can definitely tell the writers of the show have done their homework, and
there are two witches actually working in the show. One of them is in makeup and costume,
mm-hmm.
and the other is something else. But they're both they're two practicing witches that work,
and they're consulting on the show.
And they are consulting on the show. Yeah,
that's awesome. And you can tell because it's way more than just like bippity boppity boo. I have Newt Toe Frog. It's way more than that. Honestly, I would say that it is probably the closest depiction to, and I'm a bit on a tangent on Sabrina now, but it's probably the closest depiction to real witchcraft that I have seen.
Nice. At least the folklore.
Yes.
Spell work.
Because honestly, like when they're reading spells, doing incantations in the show, if you take away like the lightning and like, you know, it's witchcraft.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
but there's a lot of shows like that which we will talk about, but anyway,
yeah,
to get back to spooky, although that show is pretty spooky.
Yeah, that show is pretty spooky. It's also hard to believe it's only TV-14. I thought that was a bit low rating.
That is really weird. Really, anyway, we'll have to have a whole discussion about that.
We'll have
a two-hour-long episode about just witchcraft and pop culture, and it'll be episode one of that segment.
Yes. Because I have a lot to say, especially the craft.
Anyway. So I want to ask, to get into my next story, I want to ask a question. Everyone's opinion on fairy hounds, or otherwise better known as the black dog or hellhounds. What is everybody's opinion?
My association is that they're directly tied with Hecate because she's tied to the female dog. And I had one instance where I was working a protective charm for a friend who's living in a terribly haunted house. And even though she doesn't believe in it, it was still affecting her. And I was envisioning like a quick protection spell, and like this image of a black female dog came to me. And ever since that, she was like, that was how I did the spell. I like sent that dog out, and she like got better after that, and it worked out pretty well. So I have a good association with them. I don't have any negative connotation with them. Mm-hmm.
Jay, do you have any like theory or?
I don't really have much to offer on that, honestly. Okay.
So, I've had quite a lot of interaction, a lot more than what I would have expected throughout my life with these Wisset hounds. Back in my youth, I used to kind of have these moments of being followed by these doggish spirits. I would hear the sounds of doggy paws and little claws on the ground, and I would hear sniffing, you know, the doggy kind of sniffing, and then sometimes they would get closer and closer, and I would try to move away very quickly. I don't know why that started. I really don't. I was in high school. I was a freshman in high school when that started. Stuff happened, and it's a very weird, convoluted story, and it's really uninteresting, but stuff happened, and eventually that kind of stopped. However, as I said, I've had periodical encounters with these hounds. This is another shared story with my mother. We went through a long period of time where every once in a while, right out front of our back door, like our back window, we would be standing in the kitchen. One of us would be alone. It's always when we're alone, except for one time where it happened when we were together. We would we started hearing this very startling sound. Now this look always gives me chills. You would be sitting there, and you would start to hear this low rumble of a growl. Well, all of a sudden, you're not sure if you hear it, and we would be like, wait, what is that? And it would get a little louder, and it would get louder, and all of a sudden, when you're finally, like, in that pit of, like, fear, and you're like, what the fuck is happening? And, like, your whole body is, she said the same thing, it's like your body is vibrating, and all of a sudden, right when you're, like, really scared, it goes, rah! Like that, real fast. Real loud, right outside of our back mirror, the window. Now, there's nothing there. We could see right out into my yard. There is nothing there. Jesus. And it happened to us separately more than a couple of times. Normally, it's when we're in the kitchen. Sometimes it was, once it was from her room, and then once it was from my room when I was in the middle room. It hasn't happened in a long time, thank goodness. Ever since we started doing rituals back there, actually. So.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird to say that I am not afraid of the hounds. I'm not. The hounds can also be, they're not just, they're more than just, you know, to drag things or people or to protect. They're more than that. They also can be messengers as well. And Nick Nevin is also associated with the hounds because she's one of the people, one of the spirits or goddesses, however you see her, who's associated with the Wild Hunt. Do you know of the Wild Hunt, Sophia?
To some degree, I've heard stories of it. I just haven't like sat down and read like detailed accounts. But it's when the Horned God, essentially, from my understanding, gives people a chance to experience death without actually dying.
I mean, I would say that is for the witches who choose to ride with the hunt.
Yes.
There are a few rituals to do that. But in general, the hunt is... normally, the hunt happens on high holidays, Samhain being one of such holidays that the hunt is supposed to ride. There are many gods and spirits that are said to are at the helm of the hunt. Odin is one of them. The Geyer Carlin, Nick Nevin is another. Some have also said it, Nick Nevin and Namein, who is kind of the banshee goddess, are one and the same. And that Namein is also someone, due to her resounding scream of terror, she could strike, you know, the hearts of ill-intentioned men and, you know, she could strike them dead with her scream. She's something to be feared, I suppose. Nick Nevin is kind of more like the awesome bone witch who lives in the swamp and who collects like awesome herbs and can turn you into like a toad. And then Namein is kind of like this crazy old warrior queen who like will hit you with a battle axe and like she's just crazy. Like it's really hard to explain.
You connect with really like strong female entities.
Always,
you
but really I've been facing that my entire life. My entire life. The only masculine energy I connect to is an androgynous being known as, you know, the Witch King, the Horned Father of Witches. You know, one of my favorite invocations of him calls him the Divine Androgyne.
Interesting. So yeah. Was it him then who was later repurposed as Baphomet? Because Baphomet's also a horned god who is the androgynous.
Correct.
Okay.
The interesting thing is that the horned god has always been twofold. Because on one part, Phyllis, as far as like witchcraft theology, if you will, I know not everybody likes that term, but I do, or witchcraft philosophy, is that the horned god acts as a symbol for the practitioner themselves. It's about bringing together the masculine and feminine, the one of the being of you. It's about bringing your dualities into one. So your light and your dark, your fire and your water, your all of that. Like it's bringing it to one. And then of course you have the horns, which have always been a symbol of divinity. Through pagan cultures. Odin was once a horned god back in his oldest incarnation, for instance, as are many other gods, which is why the stag and things with horns always represent our horned god, because they reach to heaven, or the heavens, if you will. And then on top of that, it's always pictured the Baphomet as well as traditional craft with a fire betwixt the horns, right?
Yeah, a torch.
The fire betwixt the horns is the witch fire. It's what makes you a witch. It's your soul. It's the thing that gave you magic.
Kind of the thing when we were talking about, I think it's episode 10, the witch blood, the witch's right. mark.
Correct. That fire is what marks you, pretty much. That is what burns inside of the witch. That is our knowledge. That is our wisdom. That is our ability to affect change. So anyway, and he's the most masculine spirit that I really connect with.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, I used to work with Odin a lot, but the problem is that I always found Odin to be too much like men over 45 I don't get along with. They all have the same mindset.
Yeah.
And, he reminds me too much of that, and I have this horrible issue with that. Whereas the witch father, he reminds me of like the bad boy that everyone falls in love with. But at the same time, he's kind of like the bad boy who's very philosophical and very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So like, who like will like fuck somebody shit up for you? Like, is he messing with you, babe? Like, you know, like. and in some way, I do find the horned god very sexual. I do have intimate feelings. Like, I've been aroused by his presence before. And I'm not ashamed of that.
Yeah.
But it's you know, that's how I see him. I see him kind of like another boyfriend.
So, quick question on this. Is the horned god essentially a parallel with Pan? Because Pan is described of very similar things and is known as a lecherous god and very lustful, and how, like, fairies had to, like, flee from him because he was so invested in them and I guess doesn't understand consent.
So, interestingly enough, there are different schools of thought on this. There is a school of thought in which horned gods are land-based deities, which means that Canada has its own horned gods of the land.
I know one.
Or at least one, right? And then America would have its, some of them would call them Buka, B-U-C-C-A, or the Buka, which is a class of spirit that would be considered the horned gods. One of the horned gods that might be considered here, which is kind of a big one for certain covens, is the Jersey Devil. There's a lot of witchcraft lore for Pennsylvania in the Jersey Devil, due to the concept that the only reason he exists was because of witchcraft. A bitter woman because she was left still pregnant with her babe after her husband left her, used magic out of rage and fury and cursed the unborn child. And when it came out of her, he was a horned being.
Jeez.
Yeah. You know, but then there's the other school of thought in which would dictate, and I'm sorry this is turning into a history lesson on the devil, but to learn about how witches interact with the spirit world in general, I think this is pertinent. I think this is important. There's the other school of thought in which the horned god is any god that witch has horns or is depicted with horns.
Oh, I kind of like that train of thought because I see so many damn overlapping like themes with all of them. Aside mm-hmm. from like one specific one that is like a friend's protector spirit, they all have those like reoccurring themes that link together. And I've been very suspicious of whether or not they all are the same being.
Mm-hmm. I would say at the point where I'm at, like, I guess I'm at the point where I don't really know if I care anymore, just because like. Well, the reason for that is just because calling him, like, by specific names never felt right.
Yeah.
So, I always just felt like he was something beyond our mortal names, you know?
I honestly really like just the title of Witch King or Witch Father.
Ooh, yeah, I getcha.
Mm-hmm. Like but, that. But I'm trying to think if I have so many more.
Excellent tangent. Like a 20-minute tangent on the Witch Father.
Also,
it's like,
can I say,
bonus content.
And it's perfect because this is the 13th episode. So yes. Why not now?
Oh my god, it is the 13th episode.
Recorded on yes. Samhain, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. We didn't plan it this way, but no, I'm glad it worked out this way. Actually, is there any more spooky stories that you would want to share, Sophia? Because we've gotten a lot from Scott.
I was going to ask you, Jay, because you haven't... It's been a lot of us telling our spooky stories. Do you got any?
I don't have many. Most of the stories that I know come from other people. Okay. It's like I said, like I haven't really had those sort of interactions to those levels that you... Or I've had them and I've completely written them off as, oh, wow, it's suddenly chilly in this room. You know?
Did you talk about that cursed item that you found at Pagan Pride on the podcast at all? Because that would be very relevant.
No, we didn't. You know, I feel okay talking about it. I mean, what about you, Scott?
I wouldn't care. I just wasn't sure. You're a very private person. So, like, there are certain things that, like, I wasn't sure what you would be willing to talk about.
You know, I guess that in and of itself is kind of like a spooky story. Mm-hmm. It kind of is. So
Christian curses.
It is.
Yeah, it is because it was really freaky. So I guess we'll round out this episode with my one sort of spooky story, which has happened very recently. So the Pagan Pride Day organization. It's a nonprofit organization. It's a national thing. And then we have our Philly chapter, so our Philadelphia chapter. I'm actually going to be I'm going to be taking over as president next year.
Ooh, congratulations.
Thank you. And yeah, so anyway, so this year, trying to get it all started, just get in the process of ramping up to that day, it felt like everything was going wrong. And it was through a conversation with you, Scott, that we were like, it just was like a light switch sort of scenario that it was like, we need to start thinking like witches about this. Like there's a reason why everything feels like it's going to shit. And so we did some readings. There was also this very problematic person who surfaced in our local pagan community who was giving us a lot of grief and a lot of bullshit. He was really drawing our focus away from the event. And so Scott and I, you know, we did some readings and we did some digging, and Scott had, in the way that he does, he goes, oh shit, like looking at the card spread. And I was like, what? And he goes, someone cursed the event, is kind of like how we first went about it. And then we were kind of digging into it, and you know, we were saying like it was sort of like clouded of who placed a curse. It was a doozy. It was a doozy of a curse. So we had actually gone down before, the day before the event, because I had to go measure the park anyway for vendor spaces. So we were actually, there's two parks, they're across the street from each other. Normally we are in A, right? Because it has like a natural circle in the middle of the park. Well, not natural, but there's a circle in the middle of the park. So that one works really well for us. But due to some other circumstances, we did not have that park this year. So we were across the street in B, but we went over to A to go take a look, see if there's any clues of where it was buried. We were both getting images of it being buried in the ground. So we were thinking of something like a railroad spike like jamming into the ground to sort of neutralize the area. We were thinking of all these different scenarios, but we weren't entirely sure where this curse could have been, because we definitely felt like it was an object. It was definitely an object. And then we had some run-ins last year with a, not the Westboro Baptist Church, but esque, like in that same vein.
They're like Philadelphia's Westboro Baptist. Like we have like this particular place is like Philadelphia's Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah. And they protest all sorts of shit. Like apparently they're all over UPenn's campus, just being
community college too. They go to CCP as well.
Yeah. They're just problematic and annoying. They're like almost a joke at this point. But we didn't anticipate them last year. They caught us by surprise, so they sucked away a lot of our energy. This year we were prepared, so they were just kind of like a joke. But also we had this really cool guy. I didn't even know he was going to be there, and he was just playing this, I forget the name of the damn instrument. It's like a tuba. It looks like a tuba, but it's not a tuba. There's something that begins with a B. But anyway, so he was just blowing this horn over there. It was really empowering. And I think his name's Leo. So good job on you, Leo. You were awesome. But anyway, so the protesters showed up, this and that. The event went successfully, but very still stressful. Like this underlying sense of stress, because I knew that we were operating under a curse. We had no choice but to run the event under the effect of a curse. And essentially the curse is really who we kind of figured that the curse would be passed on to whoever was part of the board of organizing the event. So if you were part of organizing the event, you took that curse upon yourself willingly, essentially, because you're joining the board. So you willingly accept the curse, even if you don't know about it.
It was very clever. Whoever did very it was clever. Knows their shit.
Yeah. And so the event goes off without a hitch. We actually had just taken a group selfie, like of all our friends and stuff, that, you know, some who had volunteered, some who were just there. Scott did readings there as a vendor. And I was dead fucking tired. It was also really muggy that day too.
Oh my God, it was
so muggy. Thank God the rain held off, but it was really muggy. It was like operating through soup. It was just so soupy.
It got a little cool towards the end though.
It did, yeah. But I was just like a sweating fucking mess. So the event was successful, I will say that. It was not it I would count it a major success. Definitely great. So we took the selfie and we're all like, okay, we're all leaving. Goodbye. See you later. I'm gonna go sleep for 100 years and eat like, you know, a million bowls of cereal. And I got in the car and you, like the group of you guys, you were like, yo, you need to come back here right now.
Yeah.
And I was no, go ahead.
Our friend now, one of my friends, but Rick, one of our friends, yeah. Rick, he had brought a friend and she noticed this object, which I'll let you do the describing.
Yeah. The object was gray. I believe, from what I remember, it was a cross, a crucifix. It had, you know, the image of Jesus on it,
on a cross,
mm-hmm. on the cross. It was gray. The object was like gray, and there was red paint. It wasn't blood, but it was red paint, mm-hmm. which I would more mm-hmm. I would assume it's to symbolize blood. Red paint all over it. The words "love me" were written across one of the arms on the Jesus figure. And this thing was just oozing just cursed object. It's a very obvious cursed object, but what we all found interesting with it was it was placed in, like, on the border of the park that we were in that year.
I also had picked, not to cut you off, Jay, I also had picked up Sacrifice, and remember there was a dead squirrel.
Oh, there was a dead squirrel.
Oh, shit. Yeah,
there was a dead squirrel right there.
Oh, shit.
Right next to it.
Ooh, I didn't even notice that. Uh-huh. But I was wearing my iron skeleton key, because I was like, well, if I'm going to operate under a curse, I'm going to wear some iron. That seems like a good idea. So my dumbass decided to, I touched the object to tilt it to get a better look at it, but duh, like, I don't know. Maybe I got too cocky about it. Or maybe I was just so tired. I think I was more angry than anything. I was like, you motherfuckers, really? Like, really? So I touched the thing and I felt this just like, not like a zap, but it was just like an ugly, gross feeling. Mm-hmm. Just kind of like overcame me. And I lost, and I walked back and I was like, you know what? We're going to have to come back. We're going to have to deal with this fucking thing. And that's what we're going to do. And Scott had taken a picture of it for future reference. And the picture came out blurry, even though you were standing directly in front of it.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so blurry. I was like, what was he, like, wiggling his phone around or something? And no, like, you were standing right there, and it still came out blurry. So that is also another indicator, like, no, obvi, cursed object. So probably some kind of Christian magic, maybe, you know, because prayer is still magic, however you want to slice it.
Okay.
Anyone can fight me on that. I know my position on that.
We're all in agreement here, at least.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like,
I'm also afraid, one of the things that the friend who saw the object, my friend Nico, it was actually two people, it was Nico and my boyfriend, which, was interesting, because we're also afraid, one of the ways that some people will draw in voodoo, obviously this is more urban, because generally speaking, you draw vives, with cornmeal or coffee, ground coffee, or even gunpowder. However, you could use spray paint if you really wanted to. And I've seen it done. The thing is that Nico, who does practice voodoo, whose family initiated her into their house, she was also concerned because they also use Christian imagery in Haitian voodoo. So it's
could be that too.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation.
But I touched it. I whatever. And like I said, I felt this like really ugly, kind of gross feeling come over me. And I was like, okay, we'll deal with it. So I walked back to Joyce's car, because we were, you know, gonna head out, and I realized I had lost some of the Palo Santo that I was wearing cargo shorts. So I just had lost some of the Palo Santo that I had gotten. I think it was like a bundle that Rick had actually gotten me. He got me these really nice sticks. Mm-hmm. One was gone, completely gone. A couple other things, all my notes. Like, I had this notebook. If Scott knows, I always have this like black notebook with me at all the times. Gone. I have I lost my notebook. Gone. And that thing was like my Pagan Pride Day lifeblood, because I'd made notes about vendors and like all this kind of stuff and all these things for next year. Gone.
Damn.
All my notes were gone. So I was instantly punished. Instantly punished for touching it. And ever since, it's been tough for me to get my life together, because my life started really like falling apart a lot since then. And it's still pretty not good. So I was mentioning to Scott actually before we started recording that we should probably
Hello everyone, Scott here. I have been reading tarot for over 10 years. I am an intuitive reader, and through my readings, I try to give guidance to aid my clients in navigating their lives. To schedule a reading with me, you can find me on Facebook at Witchwise Seer and Witch. You can also find me over on Instagram and Tumblr with the handle Witchwise, spelled WYTCHWYSE. You can find links to all of my social media in the show notes. I hope to hear from you.